I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I've got some tickets to give away. It's that time of day where I can give away some Nashville SC tickets. A pair of Nashville SC tickets on the line to see the Columbus Crew at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, March 21st. Nashville SC versus the Columbus Crew on March 21st. Text in to 615-737-1025. I've got a question. Dax McCarty, who plays for Nashville SC, went to an MLS Cup final with what team? If you can give us the name of that team, the first person to give us the name of the team that Dax McCarty went to an MLS Cup final with at 615-737-1025, text us that name. You will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC play against the Columbus Crew at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, March 21st. So give us a text, 615-737-1025.
You better be fast. You better text fast.
Like you got to get your texting fingers rolling right now, because yesterday we did a similar competition with the texts, and it was a heated matchup. Remember, this is a text line, so you can't win by calling in. You got to text us, 615-737-1025.
Better be voice to text if you're in your car.
Yeah, let's operate legally.
Let's be safe.
Let's absolutely do that. Joe, it's a big one tonight for the Nashville Predators against the Montreal Canadiens, a team where if you look at the standings right now, the Preds are right in the thick of it, as they have been for pretty much the past 3 months. Winnipeg and Minnesota holding on to the final two wildcard spots in the Western Conference. Winnipeg with 78 points, Minnesota with 77. The Preds right behind it with 76. Also, Vancouver with 76 as well. So, a big one tonight for the Preds. They've got to make sure that, number one, they come out with the same intensity level that I think they've had the last couple of games against the Stars. You heard John Hines talk about last week against Edmonton, the intensity level not being there. That can't happen this time around. And sometimes that's harder to do when you're going up against teams that you don't really see all that often. Like, you don't have a whole lot of familiarity outside of Shea Weber with the Montreal Canadiens. Sometimes you have to manufacture some intensity that way. I mean, there's no natural born rivalry between the Predators and the Canadiens. But I think the situation that you're in this time of year, with every point being so crucial, that should be enough intensity by itself to generate you and to move you through in terms of playing at the same level every night. May not get the same result every night, but the same level of intensity needs to be there.
Yeah, you would hope that the situation would be enough. I mean, you would hope that there are 14 games left. Can this team and two straight now really solid, sound, playoff-like performances, especially in terms of defensive zone play and goaltending? Can you make it 16 straight to the end without having one of these 8-3 embarrassments that I think this team has had more of those in like the last, what, two or three seasons combined?
Yeah.
So there's one thing, you know, just some consistency in that way. And I just, yeah, it's strange to think that the opponent, when you're in this situation, would matter that much. But I think back to like what Hal Gill told us a couple weeks ago. You know, the question I think you asked him, you know, why does this team go into Washington and play like that, or St. Louis, or whatever? And you know, he said, you know, some of these games, like, you don't want to get embarrassed. Yeah. So you just have a different kind of approach, maybe a simple approach, a little more simple than in some games. And you want to be sound. You want to be very careful. You don't want to play too careful in this game. You get burned that way too. But that seems to be the way they played against Dallas in two games. It's the way they played against St. Louis. You know, so it's like these division rivals or these teams that have, you know, had success against you, either the cup winner or a team that has dominated you recently in Dallas, you play that way. So why can't you play that way every time, every night out?
Yeah, and that's kind of been what we've been trying to figure out all season long with the Predators. And look, I mean, they're feeling good right now, as they should be. Back-to-back shutout wins for UC Saros. He's playing really well as of late. I think there's no question right now he's this team's number one goaltender. He's going to start tonight, you would think. Anyway, I mean, I'd be floored if Pekka goes tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. You want to continue to build on that, but how many times this year have we talked about building on wins, building on performances, and trying to continue to build the right direction, and then it's almost like the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, and you got to start all over again. That's happened time and time again this year. It's easy to sit here and say that that's got to start to change now, but we're going on 68 games worth of sample size where it hasn't changed. So I'd be lying if I sat here and told you that my confidence level in terms of them just continuing to build and move in the right direction this week is high. But also, like, that's the thing I've learned about this team this year. You never really know what you're going to get. Would I be surprised if they come out tonight and win 4-1? Nope. Would I be surprised if they came out tonight and lost 3-2? No, I wouldn't. And it's the inconsistency that I think you got to find a way to get out of your game. And you're running out of time to do that. I realize that. But you've got to start chipping away at just making sure you're putting yourself in a position to build on these wins. I mean, what do they have? They have 14 games left in the season. I mean, it's probably going to take somewhere like an 8-4-2 record to probably get you in at that point. That's going to take a level of consistency that they haven't shown much so far this year.
So you're putting the number then so – Let me do math. So, that's
18 points.
So you're talking like 94.
94 around
you would,
there.
You would think 94 would get you in. Yeah, that's. I mean, it'd probably be close, but yeah, you would think so. Yeah, I mean, this would be what, the third three game winning streak of the season.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
they just had one.
Yeah,
but this would be the third.
It'd be fourth, I think, because I think they've had two. Did in
they
the
had
last
two
couple
early.
Weeks. Yeah. Well, they had a couple early, I think.
Okay, so this would be the fourth. Okay,
yeah.
So it's not as – because obviously we waited so long for them to, you know, to do that again.
Well, and the struggle's been getting to like 4 and 5 and 6 and getting those type of winning streaks. I mean, they haven't had that at all this year. Those are the things that I think fans are waiting on them to get to. And I just, you know, I don't know, based on the sample size we've seen so far, like maybe that's not in the cards. Maybe it is. I mean, maybe this is the perfect opportunity for them. It's not like they've struggled on the road. They've done pretty well on the road for the most part. I think the home record has been where most of the criticism has been this year, is they haven't played as well at home as they probably should have. But you've got a good opportunity on the road this week against, let's be honest, a Montreal team that you should beat. Like, this is a team, I get it. I mean, they've got Tomas Tatar, they've got Shea Weber, Brendan Gallagher. They've got all these different players that are talented. Carey Price in net. I mean, you know that how good he is and how well he's played throughout his career. So you never know for sure in the NHL. But this is a team on paper the Predators should beat. And I get really worried when I start talking about that, because we've seen what a dangerous game that can be for this group this year.
Yeah, and the second three-game winning streak, both, you know, two of them in February, finishes with, you know, some not great performances against really ragged and beat up Columbus and Ottawa teams, but
yeah,
they won, and they found some crazy way to beat Calgary. And then you go ahead and get beat in a pretty good performance by Colorado, and then, of course, that 8-3 game. You know, the 8-3 game is just – that's the one. Wipe that away. You're not going to win all these games down the stretch. But if there is something that you think about carryover, I think – a lot of what they've done the last two games would be exactly what you want to carry over.
Yeah.
You want more. You want to add to it. But a lot of the stuff that they did in those two games, that's playoff hockey. mean, that's what it's going to be like. And it's hard to imagine right now this team all of a sudden just having all these top offensive players. Mm-hmm. Maybe they will, and who knows what could happen then, but just bust out and start producing at a massively different level than they have over a long period of time now. So I think you've got to that, you know, the defensive zone has got to be what it's been. And then you feel a little bit better, like you can be in most of these games, not have an 8-3, not have a 9-1, a 7-4, whatever it is. I mean, they've had so many games like that that just get away from them. And I think that's a step toward, if you get in the playoffs, being ready for it.
Well, one thing that they certainly want to carry over tonight is the power play. The power play has scored, I think, in three consecutive games. All three goals they scored in their back-to-back wins against the Stars this past week were on the power play. And so when's the last time we had a discussion around here about the power play coming through and scoring big-time goals like it has lately? That's definitely something you want to try to build on if you're the Predators.
So their one goal at Minnesota was a power play goal,
too, right?
I think
so, yeah.
There's a streak I'd like to know. When's the last time they had three straight games with a power play goal?
Yeah.
I mean, has that happened this season?
If it did, it was really early on. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but it's certainly been
probably
a while.
Yeah, like early it was rolling. But, yeah, I mean, that's – I mean, think about last year. There's no way that happened last year, right?
No. I mean, they went like – it seems like a month and a half without scoring three power play goals last year. So I'm going to doubt very seriously they scored three games in a row last year at any point. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Who will have to be – the difference maker for the Predators in the next 14 games for them to make the playoffs? I've got one specific guy in mind that I want to run by Joe Rexroad. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the year, Joe Rexroad. Time for season ticket packages and renewals for the Nashville Predators. Anyone who renews or upgrades to a three-year package, either a full season or a half season, will experience a 0%, again, that's a 0% increase in their net ticket price from 2019-20 to 2020 and 2021 season. So from this year to next season, you will experience a 0% upgrade or a 0% increase in net ticket prices. A really good deal there by the Nashville Predators. Also, playoff pricing for all who renew will be a 0% increase or lower for the first round and second rounds of the 2020 postseason. So some good deals going on right now with the Nashville Predators and their season ticket packages and renewal. So get on that today and get your season tickets for the Nashville Predators either renewed today or go ahead and buy some today. It's a good time to get in there and get on the popular season ticket packages at Bridgestone Arena to see the Nashville Predators play. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, a big game tonight against the Montreal Canadiens that starts what this week is going to be a four-game road trip as they head out to Canada, taking on Montreal and Toronto, back in Columbus on Saturday night, and then a tough back-to-back going to Minnesota on Sunday night. So that Minnesota game in particular going to be really, really big for the Predators, but they've got some work to do before they get there. And we asked before the break, who's going to have to be the difference maker in these next 14 games for the Predators? I think based on what we've seen the last few games, the easy answer to that is Juuse Saros and how well he's played in net. But there's a guy that I have specifically been waiting on to figure it out this year and to get rolling offensively. We've talked about the big four a lot, but one of those guys to me that I'm still waiting on to take his game to the next level, Ryan Johansson. This to me has got to be where he starts to shine. We've seen it, what it looks like when Johansson is fully engaged, has his game at the top level. It's, I mean, look, you think back to that 2017 run. Obviously, Pekka gets a lot of credit for it, and deservedly so. He was awesome. Ryan Johansson, in my opinion, was their best player in the playoffs that year. I thought he was awesome in that run in 2017 until he got hurt. And ever since then, you know, I think fans have tried to hold him to that standard, which is fair. I mean, he's getting paid $8 million a year. Largely since then, I think he's been really, really good for the Nashville Predators. This year, it just hasn't looked right. And he, to me, is the most important part of it. If any guy really, really needs to get going for this team down the stretch, I think I would put Johansson at the top of that list.
Yeah, 35 points is just...
It's unacceptable.
No, you can't have it. Now, if you want to make excuses for Johansson, I will say that, you know, his line mates of late have not been the same line mates he's had in these seasons in which he's put much bigger point totals up. But, of course, the counter to that is, well, he's been moved around and he's lost shifts and all that because of his performance. A little bit of chicken and egg there, but he's not in a great position right now to, go on a run or as good a position as he would be if went on a different line, I think you could say. But as we've talked about a lot, some of this is Johansson just going in there and using his gifts and understanding that, he can physically handle a lot of players or most players in this league. It's like sometimes he doesn't or he forgets that or doesn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's a big guy. He's a guy that, you look at him physically, he's a guy you wouldn't think should have much difficulty kind of bullying his way to the middle, getting around the net. He's done that at times. Lately, he scored a goal a couple weeks ago doing that, but it's not often enough where he's doing it. And to your point, Joe, I mean, right now, I think the last few games he's been on a line with Colton Sissons and Callie Yarncroke, and no disrespect to those two guys, but they're not necessarily the offensive guys that you think of when you think of who normally plays with Ryan Johansson. So there's certainly something to that. But I also think, some of that's on Johansson to prove yourself with this new coaching staff that you deserve to be playing with Philip Forsberg, with Matt Duchene, with Victor Arvidsson, whoever it is. And you have to be productive with those guys. And he has been given some chances to do that and has not taken the ball and run with it, as they say. And some of that's on him. Now, I will say this. I fully supported John Hines, reducing the ice time of guys like Johansson and Forsberg, Duchene, to kind of send a message. And I think he's done an admirable job of that. To me, we need to be past that point now. At this point, you just got to ride it out with these guys. And look, if it doesn't work, if they're not productive for the rest of this season and you don't get in the playoffs, guess what? You've got an offseason to make some changes at that point. But to me, you need your best players getting the bulk of the ice time now more than ever. And I don't want to really see, Johansson having less ice time than, Nick Bonino or something like that. He needs to be out there and needs to be playing. Same with Forsberg, same with Duchene, same with Arvidsson.
No, I agree. At some point, it's like you've got to go with your best people. Hines would say, though, he would say, I'm not basing it on production. I'm basing it on what I'm seeing of the things needed to give you the best chance at production. He said that over and over again. So, and that's where if you've had your ice time cut and you've been moved around and your line mates aren't as dangerous and you're on the Johansson not on a power play unit has happened some, right? I never thought I'd see that. So if all that happens, and I'm assuming there's a lot of video communication here of you need to be doing this, not this, and then you still don't get that, well, at some point it's also I understand the idea of if you're John Hines, you either do it again. I'm not saying you have to score. You better score, a point a game the rest of the way. It's do what I want you to do. That should be pretty clearly communicated and understood and then
executed.
Responded to correctly by Johansson.
I agree. But I think it's also to the point now where there's such little time remaining in the regular season. You got to have your best guys carry you at some point. Even if they're not being productive out there, if you're down a goal, who gives you the best chance to come back? You would think it would be one of those four guys. You got to play them. I loved what he did at first, reducing their ice time and reducing their role and maybe trying to send a jolt through them. I think you've seen guys, I think Duchene's playing a lot better as of late. I think Forsberg's playing better. I think to a certain degree, Arvidsson is playing a little bit better. I need to see another step from Johansson, and I think he needs to be given the opportunity to do that now, not only with the ice time, but with his line mates as well.
And the tough part with him in particular is, I think Duchene's played better lately, and Duchene had a really good start. And again, I think Duchene, a little bit like you got to understand who he is and not maybe who you thought he was. Arvidsson injury, he's still out there getting just battered by bigger guys and, yep. and doing what he can do. Forsberg's been cold. That happens to Forsberg. These guys have all had ups and downs through the year. At what, how much of this season, 68 games, how many of those games have you come away saying, that looked like Ryan Johansson? That looked like the Ryan Johansson they want. He's had some good games. But
less
but
than
really,
five.
Less than five.
Less than five.
That's a big, that's a statement right there. And as someone, you know, you're around this team a lot more than I am. That's a big state. That's really an indictment.
There's been games where he's been good, but there have been very few games this year where he has just taken over. And when Ryan Johansson has been on with this team, he can take over a game. He's one of the few guys they have that can do that. And people say, well, what do you mean he can take over the game? He's never really the guy out there scoring goals. You don't have to score goals to take over.
No. He has dominated games. Like you said, he dominated games. He practically dominated a series. Other than Pecorine, he was the most dominant player in the sweep of the Blackhawks, without question to me. So, okay, so what's the number? Yeah, rough estimate. Last year, how many games last season would you have said that was vintage Ryan Johansson?
Oh, I think a pretty good number. I mean, I would say at least half, over half. I mean, he had 50 assists last year, and he was playing – Yeah, people talk about, you know, the line mates he's had this year, maybe playing a part in it. You know, Forsberg and Arvidsson were hurt for a pretty significant amount of time last year.
He made
Johansson
other guys
was
better.
Still productive and made other guys better.
Right.
He hadn't made a whole lot of guys better this year. I still think there's quite another level that Ryan Johansson can get to, and he's going to have to get to at some point. Maybe not for the team to make the playoffs. They can maybe make it without Ryan Johansson being that guy. Do we have any confidence you can do damage in the playoffs if Ryan Johansson's not that guy? Like, we've seen how important the center ice position is for this team. Not only this team, around the league. I mean, you have to have that in order to win. He's got to find whatever's been missing all year. He's got to find it, and he's running out of time to do it.
Yeah, and let's go back to the playoffs last year. I mean, he was not nearly what they needed from him against Dallas. So it's kind of been from the start of that series through now, a step down.
Yeah.
Pretty big one.
Absolutely. When we come back, the coronavirus is really dominating conversation, not only worldwide right now, but also in sports. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Really excited to have Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse join us at 9 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. Chris Mason will join us at 9:30 as well. But, Joe, there's a story going around right now, not only in sports but around the world, that is really dominating conversation, and that is the coronavirus. And the NHL, along with the MLB, the NBA, and MLS yesterday, I released a joint statement saying that locker room access after the game from media will no longer be available. They'll do post-game press conferences, I guess, in, you know, media rooms and at the podium where media will be required to stand, I guess, 6 to 8 feet back to make sure you don't come in close contact with players. And it just, that part of it's really not that big of a deal for your average fan, but it does start the conversation of, okay, the further and further this goes with the coronavirus and kind of the discussion around it, the fear around it, the preventative steps that organizations are trying to take around it, at what point do we become like Italy, where they basically just grounded all sports? There's no sports going on right now in Italy. Do we ever get to that point, or do we get to a point where you're playing games in arenas, in stadiums around the country, where there are no fans in attendance? You're just playing in an empty arena. I mean, I don't think we're there yet, but I also don't think we're that far away from it. I mean, the San Jose Sharks just released a statement a few minutes ago talking about, you know, their county where they play. They've basically been advised to not have large gatherings and have banned large gatherings. Now, I don't think the Sharks play at home for another week, but when that rolls around next week, they very well could be forced into a decision where you can't have any fans at your home game. I mean, I don't think we're that far off in our nation from having that.
No, I don't think we are either. You know, I think that I'm I'm assuming right at this moment that the SEC tournament is going to include fans. You know, we've got BBN coming in here, Kentucky fans, Big Blue Nation, and they take over this town every year the SEC men's tournament is here. And I assume those people are going to be packing the place again. Someone did tweet earlier that the, you know, the secondary market tickets are really, really low.
Yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me. There are going to be some people that just decide to stay away. It's really touch and go right now. I can absolutely see the NCAA tournament being played in front of empty arenas if the trend here continues. You know, my Williamson County Schools, we got a call this morning at whatever time it was, 4:45. You know, it just got closed at the last minute. We've missed the last 2 days, Friday and Monday, for deep cleaning. A dad apparently said who has it had visited one of the schools before, you know, a few weeks ago. So boom, you close it another day. Vanderbilt now all of a sudden has gone to no classes through the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
No in person. You know, a lot of these, I've seen a lot of things out there about different universities going to online only right now. So if it keeps trending like, oh, it's here, it keeps popping up, it keeps spreading, I think at some point you might see a little bit more drastic reaction than just no reporters in open locker rooms.
And Munson, I think you said that the Champions League is now playing their games, basically just shutting the doors to the public. They're playing their games in stadiums with no fans, nobody's there.
With the biggest team being Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona.
So take that with a grain of salt. If you like to watch empty netters, try watching a empty stadium.
Empty stands, yes.
It's weird. Like I can't imagine like watching it from a TV perspective. Of watching a game where I think you can hear everything. For one, you're going to be able to hear all the players say a lot of things on the court that you probably were able to, you know, ignore. Now, I'm not going to lie. The Kentucky-Florida game, I wish there was an empty stadium game because you can hear every Florida fan, like, in the stands talking.
Yeah.
So, for those games, yeah. But you're going to be able to hear players talk. You're going to be able to hear coaches on the sideline. You're going to be able to hear a lot of things that we probably don't notice because of the crowd noise, and that should be the intriguing part about the TV portion of it.
Now, I've already thought about, you know, the NCAA tournament. If I'm on press row for a game, and like how obviously bizarre and post-apocalyptic it'll seem, but also like be able to hear everything these coaches say and these players say on the floor. I mean, it's going to be really, really weird and interesting. I guess in some ways, you know, you get more information than you normally do, but just how bizarre. I mean, look, there's no doubt they're going to do everything they can to avoid that. And it's not nearly here in our country where it got in Italy, and it may not get there. I mean, Italy is like basically locked down.
Yeah.
The country is locked down and no sports till April 3rd. But I don't know. I won't be surprised either way. I've heard some people who cover college basketball who say they really think there's a good chance at this point that, you know, that before those games start, there's going to be an announcement of, you know, no fans in the stands. We'll see. I mean, look, the important part of the revenue stream is the TV money.
Yeah.
And that's true in the NFL, too. By the way, as we talk about the CBA and 17 games, you know, it's having that inventory to be televised. That's still the, you know, the biggest piece, but, you know, butts in the seats still matters too, and obviously it's part of sports. I mean, it's part of what we're about sports.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you got Major League Baseball opening day coming up in less than a month. Those are big crowds.
In most places.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Some you won't be able to notice very much of a difference between empty stadiums or not.
Well, usually opening day is big,
like in Miami, like. Is it really going to be that much of a difference? Probably not.
Yeah. Well, opening day, they still get a crowd opening day, right?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. You know, usually it's like opening day
two,
pack.
It's gone.
Day two, it's 8,000 people. But, yeah, I mean, it's very, very touchy-go. And, again, it's like, you know, there's the panic just comes with this naturally. Whether there should be panic or not, there should certainly be concern. You know, right now you've got I'm seeing something here. 755 confirmed cases in this country. You know, 755. I mean, that's a very small amount. It's basically 3,800 deaths worldwide. I think last I saw was 19 deaths in this country. That's probably up, though. Again, it's mostly elderly or, you know, or people that have immune system issues. But the bottom line is, this is a deadly virus,
yep.
And people are rightfully concerned, and it's got to, the trend has got to be slowed. I guess reversed is not the right word. The trend has got to be slowed before people feel comfortable, you know, kind of going life as usual.
Yeah, Doug writes in on our text line and says, this is the biggest overreaction of all time or since acid rain was going to kill us all in the 1970s.
Whoa.
Wow, I don't remember that. But
yeah, I don't either.
Joe, tell us about that.
Is that back when the NFL had 14-game season?
Chance the Rapper had a mixtape called Acid Rap, but that's a lot different than Acid Rain.
I mean, I don't know either.
I
remember Acid Rain, certainly. Acid Rain was something.
Yeah, Joe, tell us about it. History lesson by Joe Rexroy.
I never heard it was going to kill you. You know, it was just bad.
Yeah.
A bad thing.
Doesn't sound fun. It doesn't at all.
Was there like a week in this country when everyone was like, thought that like a raindrop would be like hydrochloric acid?
And did people go buy up all the toilet paper when that happened? Because that's what people are doing now. I mean, the grocery stores are like selling out of toilet paper, which I can't understand. Like, I don't get that one.
I mean, it's always good to stock up on toilet paper.
Well, it is, but like,
it's just, so that's obviously, that just got to be like, we may be holed up for 3 months, so let's just load up on everything.
But I would buy a whole lot of, like, I would make sure I'm stocked up on toilet paper. But some people apparently are like, they're like pushing each other over in the aisles to make sure they can get toilet paper. I mean, there are a few more things on the priority list I think I would have.
Yeah, man, Charmin's hard to come by.
Like, I go buy beer before I buy toilet paper.
Yeah, you get, I mean, man, come on. They go hand in hand.
They do.
But, yeah, I think I'm going to go to a store after this. When we're done today, I'm just going to check it out.
Make sure you're stocked up, man.
I mean, just almost to see it, you know? But, yes, I mean, we probably could use a little shopping anyway.
Look, I'm not medically qualified to give an answer to Doug's point, whether or not we're overreacting. Like, you know, there are people a whole lot smarter than me that can talk about that. From our standpoint in the media, the post-game locker room access, like, whatever. It's a short-term thing. It's really not that big of a deal. Yes, it's going to hurt, like, the quality of your stories. Like, there is something to being in a locker room, you know, getting one-on-one access with a guy, probably more willing to open up to you and give you a better detail of what's going on in that setting than he's going to be in a press conference setting where, you know, you've got 10, 15 TV cameras there, you're in a public place. Like, it's just different. And I know the average fan probably doesn't care about that, which that's cool. That's fine. That's whatever. I'm not as concerned about that. I do wonder how close we are to just not having fans in the stands, because about a week and a half ago, I was like, that's not going to happen here. And the more that I've started to see stuff, the more that I've seen the leagues react to this, I think we're on the path of getting there at some point.
Yeah, it could be. I won't be surprised. NCAA tournament. I feel like the SEC tournament right now is, you know, I think everything's touch and go, but I would expect crowds there this week. You don't know exactly how it's going to go, but if the trend continues as it has last few days, where it just keeps popping up, I think there's some real hard discussions with the NCAA and the NCAA, you know, tournament committee on what they're going to do.
When we come back, there's a quarterback in the NFL that's asking for $40 million per year. We'll get into that and our reactions to that. Also, some news that could impact the Titans in their negotiations with free agents. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive here with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroy on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in tomorrow night for Smashville Live at 7 p.m. featuring SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and others. This Smashville Live is at Bridgestone Arena and is not open to the public. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Back here on Morning Drive after Joe Rexroy is giving bad lucks to country music that was coming back in. Are you not a country music fan, Joe?
No. What was that?
That was Luke Combs.
Luke Combs. Okay, I've heard of Luke Combs.
Well, I'm glad you heard of him. That's very good.
There you go. That's all I got for you.
I wonder if Luke Combs has heard of you. Do you think he subscribes to The Athletic?
Well, I hope he subscribes to The Athletic. You know, there's many more reasons beyond me to subscribe. So subscribe, Luke.
Get out there.
Good stuff.
Even though Joe hates your music, subscribe to The Athletic.
In the 8 seconds of that song I heard, I didn't hate it.
Well, that's good.
it was fine.
All right, good.
Good job, Luke.
Well, Joe, there has been a change in the NFL franchise tag deadline. So there's a whole bunch of deadlines getting shifted around all over the place, both via the free agency discussion, the CBA discussion, all of these different things taking place. I believe the original deadline for the franchise tags to be extended was Thursday. That has now been extended to Monday at 11:59 a.m. Eastern time on Monday. And the interesting part, as Adam Schefter points out, that the NFL's franchise tag deadline is 11:59 Monday morning Eastern time. The legal tampering starts 1 second later on Monday. So it's going to be quite an interesting week to watch the franchise tag deadline expire literally 1 second before the legal tampering period begins in the NFL.
Well, and it didn't make sense that they moved the voting back
for the CBA
to Saturday, and then the deadlines for the tags remain Thursday. It didn't make sense that would stay there, and so this is a sensible move. So now, if you're the Titans, you don't have to like use both tags and then find out that one of them has to be rescinded later. Now the vote will happen, and you'll know what you're working with. You're probably working with just the franchise tag Monday, but at least then you know, and you can. I mean, I'm sure, like, if you're the Titans right now, I would think you would be expecting this to pass, the new CBA, and you would expect that the luxury of using both tags is gone, and so you strategize accordingly. But it's good to, be able to understand what you're looking at and not have to try to do something and then have to adjust, to a change. So, I mean, it makes sense. And, yeah, it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be, it's going to – right up until noon Monday, we'll find out about tags and then, tampering. And then Wednesday, actual free agency will begin. So March Madness in very various ways next week.
Various ways indeed. And it has been interesting. We talked about the CBA discussion earlier in terms of, the deadline being extended to the vote. People trying to change their vote now. That one was really interesting to me. Like, why did you vote in the first place if you're a player? If now all of a sudden new information has come out, it's not like the CBA proposal has changed in the last few days. So what in the world did you vote on that all of a sudden you want to change your vote now? That, to me, that's very concerning in terms of the process the players are taking and the seriousness they're taking looking at this.
And again, like DeMaurice Smith, like, look, you can't hold everyone's hand, okay?
Right.
There's got to be a certain level of responsibility for every adult in this situation, in this labor force, to understand what you're talking about and, be informed and care about things that actually affect your life. But, this has got to be spoon-fed, too. I mean, this is something where I feel like it's really important that your membership understands this, and you can't expect anyone to go through 456 pages to do it. So, it's the idea that now, what was the new information that caused someone to want to change a vote? It's enough of a thing where they actually had the leadership vote on, vote on whether they could change their vote.
Yeah.
So it's enough people, and I'd really love to know, what are they changing their vote to?
Yeah, that's the other part. Like, we don't know, are they changing their vote from no to yes? Are they changing it from yes to no? That's something I'm not sure we'll ever find out. But just deeply concerning from my standpoint of just, you've heard Aaron Rodgers talk about it. He went on ESPN Milwaukee last weekend. I think Friday he was on there and was talking about, I'm the player rep for the Packers, and I've sent this along and tried to get some feedback from players on my team. There hadn't been a whole lot of interest out there. Not a whole lot of responses at that point from Aaron Rodgers. And I get it. Like, this time of year, some guys are on vacation. Some guys are out doing things. Like, that's how it works. But this is a pretty important decision the players have to make as they move ahead here. I mean, this is going to be a long-term CBA if it gets agreed to. So, just concerning from that front.
Yeah, maybe it's just a case of, like, all the rich guys in the league are just getting ignored by all the guys who are going to vote this because it helps their situation significantly. Yeah. I mean, who knows? The more I think about it, the more I think this might pass by a pretty healthy margin.
Yeah, I think so too. So, Joe, there's a quarterback out there that has apparently turned down a $33 million offer from the Dallas Cowboys, and that is, of course, Dak Prescott, reportedly asking for $40 million. If you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, like, how do you even consider that? Like, Dak Prescott and me, and you tell me if you disagree, he can't be worth anywhere close to $40 million. And you can't do that if you're a team because that's going to handicap everything else you do. I mean, they're still trying to re-sign Amari Cooper. You can kiss that out the door if you give him that much money. Like, to me, look, I'm all for trying to get as much money as you can get if you're a player. But, like, at some point, like, realism has to come into it as well, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, he's not worth anywhere near that, first of all. But that's if you're a quarterback on the open market and you're pretty good or better, you're going to get money. But, like, if you're Dak Prescott and you make $40 million a year, I haven't gone through their entire payroll, but I think you're going to hamstring that team. And so do you want to be in Dallas playing for 7-9 teams year after year? I understand any one player can say, come on, you know, $5, $6 million more. How is that going to break the bank? But, you know, as you pointed out, they've got other guys assigned too. And I just think that's an outrageous number. I mean, it was reported he was offered 33 for Dak is big. I'm not surprised because, again, you get to free agency right now in this league as a quarterback, you're gonna cash in. But man, take the 33.
Yeah, I think the report is the latest offer exceeds $33 million and it's $105 million total or something like that. Like, my goodness.
$105 million guaranteed?
I think it may be, yeah.
Okay.
Like, my goodness, take it, dude. Like,
yeah, I mean,
Is Dak Prescott really – I mean, he had a great year last year, but we just talked about earlier in the show, you know, Zeke Elliott getting paid that money because they know he's the identity of their offense. Like, shouldn't that tell you what the Cowboys think about Dak Prescott at that point? Like, they still want to have him, obviously, but if they don't think he's the focal point of their offense, why would you pay him that much? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And although the Cowboys seem like the New York Yankees, they actually have a salary cap to abide by. So they just can't do
complicates things a bit.
Yeah. So I guess, hey, you push for 40, and I guess you land at 35 or 36.
And even that's it's astronomical.
It is. It's somewhat ridiculous.
What a time it is to be an NFL quarterback. You make a lot of money being an NFL quarterback. I should have done that. That should have been the career path I chose.
I know. We
missed
blew
the boat
it.
On it.
We blew it.
I think I was done with that in like ninth grade. Just was out the door.
Yeah.
Should have stuck with it.
Well, you know.
I started playing split end in football, and we ran a wing tee, so there was not much pass catching.
A lot
of blocking on the edge going on out there. That was pretty much the end of my football days. After one game, I think we threw the ball one time, and it didn't go to me. I was like, what am I doing out here? Like, this is just a complete waste of time.
I had a very similar experience.
Yeah.
Wishbone receiver.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of fun.
Does not play out very well. When we come back, Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse will join us. Excited to have him join the show. That's coming up next. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.